Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to get up and speak before you this morning. I'd like to say publicly, because I know all of you men and children, I would like to say a happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers here. It's good to see all of you here. If you're visiting with us today, I hope that you find the service in accordance with God's Word and uplifting and encouraging to you. If you have any questions about the service here today or about the lesson here today, I hope that you'll stick around afterwards. Let us get to know you better and answer those questions for you. If you don't have one of our lesson sheets this morning, maybe if you will raise your hand and we'll make sure that we get some passed out to you. Might get some of our men to help do that. This morning we're going to speak, continue some of our thoughts that we've done in Bible class this morning and speak about mothers. Certainly fitting for our lesson here today. The Bible does have quite a bit to say about mothers. I mentioned in our Bible class this morning that kids have some interesting things to say about mothers, and I had given to me here a couple days ago some things that some elementary age children had to say about mothers. And I shared some of those things with our Bible class this morning. I wanted to share some of you this morning some of those other things. Some children were asked, how did God make mothers? How did God make mothers? One child said, He used dirt, just like for the rest of us. Another child said, God made mothers by magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. Another child said, God made my mom just the same like He made me. He just used bigger parts. Some other children were asked, what ingredients are mothers made of? One child said, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one little dab of mean. Another child said, they had to get their start from men's bones, then they mostly used string, I think. Some other children were asked, what kind of little girl was your mother? One child said, my mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Another child said, I don't know what my mom was like because I wasn't there, but I guess that she would have been pretty bossy. Another child said, they say she used to be nice. Some other children were asked, what's the difference between moms and dads? One child said, moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Some other children said, moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Some other children said, dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power, because that's who you go to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. Some other kids said, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. And some other children were asked, finally, if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? And one child said, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Another child said, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. And one child said, if you could change one thing about your mom, said, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. Well, one thing we can be sure from all those comments is that mothers have a tremendous influence on their children. That's why I've entitled our lesson this morning, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World. And it is true that mothers rule the world, because they have such an influence on our children here today. We can be told that mothers can shape the world one child at a time. Mothers can have such a positive influence or a negative influence on their children based on how they raise them. Lincoln said about his mother, "All that I am or can be, I owe to you." Garfield, another president, said, "Mother, you brought me here." Yes, mothers have influence. Ezekiel 16:44 tells us, like mother, like daughter. And yes, how mothers act carries over into their children. If you want to get a child stirred up, and I work with teenagers every day, and if you want to get one stirred up, you talk about his mother. You can talk all about everything else about them. You can talk about what they wear or how they act. If you want to get one stirred up, you talk about their mother. If you look on TV and you think about different TV cameras as they show, say, a college football game, what do kids or even college players or even adults, what do they mostly say? They say, "Hi, Mom," on TV. Yes, mothers have a tremendous influence on their kids. The book of Proverbs says a whole lot about women and about mothers. Today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 31, and I'd encourage you to turn there. There's really no other passage in the Bible that says more about, at one place in one time, about mothers and about women and about a virtuous woman than Proverbs 31 says. But Proverbs, all the way through Proverbs, has a lot to say about women and about mothers. Proverbs tells us about the contentious woman. In Proverbs 21:9, it says, "Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Proverbs 27:15 says, "A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." Proverbs also tells us about the adulteress and the sinful woman. In Proverbs 22:14, we're told, "The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He is abhorred by the Lord will fall there." And then Proverbs 23:27 tells us as well, "For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well." Yes, the Bible has a lot to say about women and how women should act, as well as all the rest of us. But the Bible also tells us in Proverbs 31, in verses 10 through 31, to praise women who fear the Lord. And that's what we want to look at this morning, qualities of a virtuous woman. If you turn over to Proverbs 31 and look down toward the end of the passage, we find in verse 30, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Yes, we certainly on Mother's Day remember mothers, but the Bible doesn't talk to us about honoring mothers on one day a year. But the Bible tells us here to praise a woman who fears the Lord. And really and truly, every day should be a Mother's Day from that standpoint. Let's look at some of the qualities here of a virtuous woman. In verse 10 of Proverbs 31, it's told, "Who can find a virtuous wife?" Or some translations say, "A virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies." Then the Proverbs continues on and tells us different qualities of a virtuous woman. Let's look at four different categories of a virtuous woman here this morning. First of all, a virtuous woman does her husband good. Does her husband good. Notice verses 10 through 12 of Proverbs 31. for who can find a virtuous wife for worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all of the days of her life. If you skip down to verse 23, qualities of a virtuous woman is, we find verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Yes, it's been said behind every good woman, behind every good man is a great woman. And we find that to be true here in Proverbs 31. A virtuous woman does her husband good, the Bible says. That means that her husband trusts her. Because of her life, because of her characteristics, because of who she is, her husband can trust her. In this day and time, when adultery and even divorce is rampant, a virtuous woman is a woman whose husband safely trusts her, we find here in verse 11. And we're told that not only does he trust her, we're told that the heart of her husband, from the innermost parts of him, he fully trusts his wife. We find that she supports him. We find in verse 12, she does him good and not evil all of the days of her life. She supports him. If we look at the verse that we talked about, that a virtuous woman has a husband who is known in the gates, verse 23, when he sits among the elders of the land. Yes, she fully supports him in all that her husband does when he's out in the gates, and she does him good. In Titus chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5, we're also given a passage, a pretty good bit about how women should treat others. And we're told how that older women should train younger women and how they should act. In Titus chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5, we find the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Yes, by a woman following all those characteristics, by an older woman teaching younger women to do the same, we find that the word of God is not blasphemed. That is the will of God, and that the whole intent of the Word of God is to teach us and instruct us in how we should go, how we should live our everyday life. And by us living our lives that way, and by a woman living her life that way, then the Word of God is not blasphemed. Yes, the qualities of a virtuous woman is that she does her husband good. He trusts her, she supports him, and by doing so, we know that behind every good man is a great woman. Also, we find qualities of a virtuous woman is that she works hard to meet the needs of her family. She works hard to meet the needs of her family. Let's notice several verses here. First of all, let's notice that she has willing hands. Notice verses 13 and 16. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She also rises while it's still night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Yes, she is one that has willing hands. We're told in verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. In other words, we, in our modern-day language, we say that she rolls up her sleeves and gets to work. She is one that has willing hands. You know, many women work in this day and time. All women work, whether inside the house or outside the house. The difference in a virtuous woman from other women is that she has willing hands. In verse 13, she willingly works with her hands. She's not ashamed and takes pleasure in providing the basic needs of her family. If you skip down to verse 24, we're told that she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Yes, a woman is a virtuous woman is one that's not afraid to work, even if it means to sell things or to bring in money into the family. And we're even told that here in verse 24. A virtuous woman is also one that meets the basic needs of food and clothing for her family. One that takes the leadership role in that standpoint. We find in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax, willingly works with her hands. Verse 14, she's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. That doesn't mean she always does that. But that statement's there to let us know that she's willing to do what it takes to bring food to her family, even if that means from bringing food from afar. We find also in verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Yes, she's willing to provide clothes for her family. Verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. No, perhaps a better word than scarlet is double more portion or double layers there, rather than the color of the clothing. What's meant there is that she's not afraid of snow because her family has what they need for the cold. It's mentioned there basically to give us the intent that she does whatever it takes to make sure that her family has what they need to survive. Notice also that a virtuous woman is prepared. Notice verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. That doesn't mean that a woman has to rise every night, but basically the intent is given here that she does whatever it takes. If that means getting up in the middle of the night to provide her baby with a bottle. If it means rising while it's still night to help prepare food for company, she does whatever it takes. If it means getting up in the middle of the night for a sick child, she does whatever it takes. In verse 18, we find she perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. Basically, that verse is telling us that she knows that the quality of her work is good, that she doesn't produce junk, that she does what it takes to produce the good stuff. And by meaning that her lamp does not go out at night, that doesn't mean that she burns candles all night long or that she keeps the lights on all night, but she's prepared for whatever comes. And if that means a storm comes or that her children are awake and a candle has to burn all night, that she's always prepared. And the bottom line is, she works hard to make the needs of her family. She does whatever it takes in any circumstance to provide for the basic needs of her family. And I know each of you could look out among the people sitting next to you and know that that is the case with the women that you know. And she works hard to meet the needs of her family. Thirdly, let us notice that another quality of a virtuous woman is that she cares for others. Not only does a virtuous woman care for her own family, not only does she support her husband in all that she does and treats him good, but she also cares for others. Notice verse 20 of Proverbs 31. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. We noticed this morning in our Bible class of Dorcas that when she died, how that all the widows came showing Paul all the things that Dorcas had made. All the needy ones that had their needs met by Dorcas or Tabitha. But let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. verses 9 and 10. Remember, Paul wrote the book or the letter to Timothy. And at the first of 1 Timothy, Paul remembers how that Timothy's mother and grandmother instilled in him a faith. And that was evident in Timothy. But we also find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 that Paul gave instruction to Timothy to teach others on how they should treat others. And it said in verses 9 and 10, in 1 Timothy 5, verses 9 and 10, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work." So Paul is instructing Timothy to tell the churches on how to take care of widows. But he instructs basically on these are the types of widows that the church needs to take care of. In other words, these are the type of women that we should praise. These are the types of women that every godly woman should try to be. And those are things that Paul specifically mentions. Those that are well reported of good works. Those that have a good reputation. We talked about Ruth this morning in her Bible class and how that every person in the town knew that she was a virtuous woman. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Notice it says to take care of those widows who have brought up children. If she has lodged strangers. If she's taking care of those that needed help. And she has washed the saints' feet. She's tended to others. And she has relieved the afflicted. She has cooked meals for the sick and helped those that needed help. And she has diligently followed every good work. Yes, a virtuous woman is one who cares for others. I've been impressed over and over how that when there's a need in the church, it's usually the women who think first. What needs to be done? Or I'll cook food or clean their house or whatever needs to be done, that they're usually the first to react. Many times us men wouldn't even think about those things. But it's the virtuous woman who cares for others and reacts in that way. Also, another quality of a virtuous woman is one that has a good reputation. We've touched on this a little bit before. But a virtuous woman, Proverbs 31 here speaks specifically, is one that has a good reputation. She has a good reputation for dressing well. Notice verses 22 and 30. In verse 22, we're told she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. In verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So if we combine those two verses and those two concepts, we find that a virtuous woman is one who takes care of herself. She dresses in fine clothes, and in the fact that they're nice, clean, neat, well taken care of, she makes for herself, we're told, fine linen and purple. In other words, she looks nice when she dresses. But she doesn't do that for the wrong reason. She doesn't do that to be gaudy or to bring recognition to herself. In verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So a virtuous woman is one who doesn't go overboard in those. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, in that same letter that we talked about just a minute ago, Paul said in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Yes, a virtuous woman is one who dresses well, not to bring attention to herself, not overbearing, but one who takes pride in how she looks and presents herself to others and to her husband in a way that is modest and appealing. Secondly, we find that she has a good reputation in the fact that she behaves in a godly manner. She behaves in a godly manner. In verses 25 and 26, notice what we're told after the thought of wearing fine linen garments and purple. In verses 25 and 26, we find strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I'm sure when I read these verses, certain women that you know of come to mind. That those, when they open their mouth, they're speaking wisdom. And on their tongue is the law of kindness. Yes, a virtuous woman is one who behaves in a godly manner and speaks in a godly manner. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 3 and 4, Peter also gives some instruction on how women should dress, but he also talks about on how they should dress inside. In 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, we're told, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Yes, a virtuous woman who is one who looks at how she behaves and behaves in a godly manner and has it described of her, of having one who has an inward beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is precious in the sight of God. Yes, a virtuous woman is one who has a good reputation. She dresses well, behaves well. And because of this, her family respects her. Her family praises her. In verses 28 and 29 of Proverbs 31, notice what the scriptures say here. "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." And he praises her by saying these words, verse 29. "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Yes, a godly woman is one whose family respects her and praises her for her good works. She's one who has raised her family in such a way that they love and cherish her. Yes, they know that she's corrected them when they needed the correcting, but they know why she corrected them. They know that the mother wanted them to rise up and be raised in a way that is pleasing to God. And because of this, not only does her family praise her, but others praise her because of her good deeds. Notice verses 30 and 31. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Yes, a virtuous woman is one who doesn't have to go around tooting her own horn, but is one because of her good works. She is praised in the gates. In other words, the whole town knows about, or the whole church knows about, her good deeds because the good is that she has done. She's not one who has to go around saying those things about herself. "Look what I've done. Look at me." But because of her good works, she is known for them. Yes, I know many of you could think back to your mother or other godly women, perhaps even your grandmother, and know of a virtuous woman. But this passage is also a call to our young ladies and to our young women and to all women to try and strive to the qualities of those things. And because of that, we should always give recognition to those who deserve that recognition. And here in this case, give recognition to the women who deserve it. Yes, one of the qualities of a mother is that she loves her children. This morning in our Bible class, we noticed Hannah, how she gave her son before he was even born to the Lord. And she loved her son so much that she did that. And the love of a mother is undying. We know mothers who have risked their own lives for their kids. As we think to God and to His love for His children, He loved each one, every one of us so much that He gave His only Son for each and every one of us. He is the ultimate parent in that He sacrificed everything by sending the best thing that He could give for each and every one of us, and that is by giving His Son. And it is through His blood and His death on the cross that we have the hope of living and joining Him one day in heaven. The hope of having an eternal inheritance that's better than any parent could ever give their children. Yes, and we can only access that through the blood of Jesus. There's power in His blood. And if you have not given yourself over to Jesus by accessing that blood, then you need to do so this morning. You believe in the Bible, you believe in the words of God, believe that He loves you and He has given all these things for you. Repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, and the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sins. If you've been one who has become a Christian, but maybe you forgot about the Father's love for you, and you've turned your life away from Him, I encourage you this morning, don't leave here today without giving your lives for them. This morning, a lot of gifts, and today a lot of gifts, no doubt will be given to mothers. But the greatest gift you could ever give your mother is to live a life that is pleasing to God. If we can help you do so in such a way this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.